This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right. So I want to ask a question to you guys that we talked about a little bit earlier. Just, I want the 5 o'clock hour to have a little different energy this time than we usually would. Now I would give you some long monologue, and I'm sure at some point I will between now and then, but you know what? That's not what I'm feeling off the top. This is the question that I want to ask you, and the reason I'm asking this question is one thing that we have learned over the course of this week together is that, man, San Francisco, they just don't like Patrick Mahomes, and I get it. The same way that you guys don't like Madison Bumgarner because Bumgarner beat the Royals in 2014, think about if Madison Bumgarner beat the Royals in 2014 and then also beat them in 2017 and you never won a championship. You know who would be at the top of your least favorite athletes list? Patrick Mahomes. He has stopped San Francisco from having two Super Bowls. In one Super Bowl, they were up 10 with less than 8 minutes to go. The other one, Patrick Mahomes throws a game-winning touchdown in overtime. Yes, it makes sense why San Francisco is not the biggest fan. I'm guessing that Brock Purdy walks around and just hearing the name Patrick Mahomes just upsets you. I'm assuming if you mention him to Kyle Shanahan, don't talk about that man around me. This is my question. Text line 913-586-7965, and I'll tell you why I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game. Which one of these guys low-key do you think hates Patrick the most? Do you think it's Kyle Shanahan? Do you think it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or the rest of the AFC West? The reason I throw the rest of the AFC West, because think about the dominance that the Chiefs have had, and think about how if you are the owner of one of the other three teams, every plan that you have had to try to stop the Chiefs over the course of the last 5 years has failed miserably. We're going to bring in Russell Wilson. That didn't work. We're going to bring in Josh McDaniels, and we're going to pair him with Devontae Adams and Derek Carr. That didn't work. You're the Chargers. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. None of the plans that you have had, if you run a team in the AFC West, all of those teams have changed coaches. All of those teams have changed general managers. All those teams other than the Chargers have changed quarterbacks over the course of the last 3 to 5 seasons. Those teams hate Patrick Mahomes too. The same way that if you're in the Big 12 for basketball, you got to always be worried about what KU is doing. And you've got great programs in the Big 12. Houston's a great program. Iowa State's a great program. You got to always be worried about what Bill Self is up to. And even in a year that KU was down last year, they then go out and they have the number one transfer class, and now they're ranked preseason number one. You'll never be better than KU, and it just has to burn your soul. Which one of these do you think has the biggest underline and beef with Patrick Mahomes? Do you think it's Kyle Shanahan, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or do you think it's the rest of the AFC West? 913-586-7965. We'll read some of your text. Rob, what's your answer?
I'm going to say Josh Allen. And I think it has a lot to do with the way we view Josh Allen, the legacy of Josh Allen, how the media talks about Josh Allen. It is all of those things because one person exists. We earlier this week on the show talked about this. You said, and you brought it up with Danny when he was on the show. Check out the podcast page. Josh Allen's in a weird spot. He is playing probably the best of any AFC quarterback right now in the league. And yet no one seems to care or think he's the best because Patrick Mahomes exists. He has taken his team to the playoffs and won the division however many times up in Buffalo. Basically, the Patriot dynasty ended and the Josh Allen reign began. But no one talks about that because Patrick Mahomes exists. He has taken his team to the AFC title game. He has taken his team to 13 seconds away from a second AFC title game. He has been as close to the Super Bowl without getting a Super Bowl as you can get. But no one talks about those things because Patrick Mahomes beat him and then goes to the Super Bowl. So when we look at Josh Allen's legacy and his career, the way me and you and, you know, Danny Parkins and Nick Wright and whoever talk about him, it's always, he's a really good quarterback in the modern era. But that's where the story stops. If Patrick Mahomes did not exist, the story with Josh Allen would be, oh my goodness, look at this transcendent talent. He runs around, he stiff arms guys, he's got the big arm, he's doing it in Buffalo, which is one of the smallest markets in professional sports. He is, oh, he is great. He would probably have a couple Super Bowls by now, and he would go from on a trajectory to the Hall of Fame to a guy that we have put down in Sharpie as a Hall of Famer if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist. But that's not the way it works. We think he's a Hall of Famer, but people still have doubts. Maybe he needs a ring guy. He's kind of viewed as Diet Dan Marino right now. But if there was no such thing as Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen would be the absolute toast of the NFL, and everyone would be enamored with his play.
This is why I think it's Kyle Shanahan. This is why. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. Their team was up 28-3, and even though their defense gave up a lot of points, a lot of people blame Kyle Shanahan for not running the ball enough in the second half and kind of burning the clock out in the game. So you have to wear a 28-3 collapse in the Super Bowl. You finally get your own opportunity to be in charge. You are the boss. You go to San Francisco and you turn that thing around and you get San Francisco on the up and up. You get them to the Super Bowl. Next thing you know, you're going up against this kid, Patrick Mahomes, that everybody is talking so much about. Patrick Mahomes was not playing well for the first, 52 minutes of that first Super Bowl against San Francisco. If you're Kyle Shanahan, it is impossible to convince me that you were not already thinking that you won. We all do that before. For those of you that gamble, you have definitely been looking at your bet. It was trending like it's going to win, and you have started thinking in your mind how you plan on spending that money or what you're going to do with that money. Everybody has been in that scenario. If you're Kyle Shanahan, your team is up 20-10. It is the second half. It is the fourth quarter, less than 8 minutes to go. It is 3rd and 15. You are thinking, man, we got this game in the bag. There's no chance that you go from up 20-10 with less than 8 minutes to go to now your team lost by double digits. There's no way that you allow your mind to get there. So then all summer, you were thinking about that. Man, we should have won that game. Man, I can't believe we lost to this. I can't believe they did that to us. If I ever get another opportunity against him, it's going to be different. That's what you start thinking. You know what? You get another opportunity. This time, you have an even better team than you had the last time. This is your quarterback that you picked. You got your wide receiver. Look at the offense. Look at all the pieces around you. A defense. You got them this time. You got another halftime lead in the Super Bowl. You're thinking, man, you know what? This guy, he's not going to get the better of me this time. I know we're beating him this time. And not only did he beat you, you didn't know the rules. We're now laughing at you. We're mocking you. We got the audio. You didn't know the rules. You didn't coach your team properly. You only get so many chances to get into the Super Bowl, man. Not everybody is Brady or Mahomes where you get 4, 5, 10 opportunities. Some people never get one. Sometimes you only get one or two. Sometimes you only get a handful. And in Kyle Shanahan's 3 times in the Super Bowl, 28-3, jet chip wasp, not knowing the overtime rules. I'm telling you, Kyle Shanahan, he probably didn't even shake Patrick Mahomes' hand anymore. I would never want to talk to that individual anymore. He's ruined me. He has ruined my life's work. That's why I think it's Kyle Shanahan.
I don't disagree, but let me ask you this. Who do you think is more likely to win a Super Bowl first? Is it Josh Allen or Kyle Shanahan? And I would tell you it's Kyle Shanahan for this reason. It is more likely that Shanahan does not have to face Mahomes again than Josh Allen. Josh Allen has to overcome Patrick Mahomes basically no matter what. He is going to have to slay that dragon with a Super Bowl. There is a chance in a world where Kyle Shanahan wins the Super Bowl and never bumps into Mahomes, which would change our view of him both in the current and legacy-wise. I think Josh Allen has to overcome Mahomes, and for a player of his talent and what he has done, he has to overcome one demon. Maybe he's Peyton Manning to Tom Brady. Just whatever it is, whatever analogy you like. I think Kyle Shanahan gets the benefit in a way of being in the NFC because it's possible he never has to overcome Mahomes. And then our whole view of him changes. That's not how Josh Allen's going to have to work.
Let me read to you guys the most recent tweet from Adam Schefter. So Adam Schefter puts out, Jordan Mason, he is going to play. He's off the injury list. You guys know that he left the last 49ers game. He sprained his AC joint against the Seahawks. He is back. Their leading receiver, at least so far from a numbers perspective, Juwan Jennings, he is out with the hip injury. That's certainly a big loss. Ricky Pearsall, you remember, he was their first-round pick. He was the gentleman who was robbed. He got shot. He hasn't played so far this season. He's going to be back. Their kicker is on the injury list. So a lot of news coming out of San Francisco. Also, Deebo Samuel, he was limited the first 2 days of practice. He was a full participant today. He is off the injury report. He is good to go against Kansas City. So that is all the news and notes. It sounds like Juju is going to play as well for Kansas City. He had a hamstring spasm. I have absolutely no clue what that is. That sounds like a Charlie horse to me. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what it sounds like to me. A hamstring spasm? That sounds like you had a cramp. But you know what? He had an injury. He was limited in practice on Thursday. He is back. He is expected to play. I'm going to give you guys the reasons I'm picking Kansas City to win this game. And I don't really think they're that complicated. Andy Reid is 21-4 coming off a bye. 21-4. That is an incredible percentage. Like, if you were telling me in any scenario, hey, something happens 21 out of 25 times, I'm going to guess that that thing will probably happen again. So Andy Reid off a bye week. It is one of the most consistent things in all of American professional sports. That is an incredible percentage. So that's number one. Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. This is more of a gambling perspective, but it's also betting on Patrick Mahomes to win. In Patrick Mahomes' career, this is just the 14th time. Think about it. He has over 100 starts. Just 13 times before this game, the Chiefs have been underdogs. The Chiefs have won 10 of those 13 games. So Andy Reid off a bye. Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. It is Vegas' way of telling you, we got this thing wrong. So that's two things. Also, I don't really trust San Francisco to run the ball effectively in this game. And I think for San Francisco and Brock Purdy to really work, they're a team that needs to be balanced. They're a team that needs to run the football effectively. Jordan Mason has had an incredible start to his season. Now, he is not Christian McCaffrey. But, I mean, if you're looking at it, Jordan Mason has run for over 75 yards in every game this season. He has a touchdown in three of the games that they have had so far this year. He has caught the ball out of the backfield. He is averaging 5.3 yards per carry. He has had an incredible start to the season. Based on what we've seen the Chiefs do to running back options, I'm not very confident that Jordan Mason's going to be a big part of this game. Now, maybe he is the guy that has a good day against it, and that scheme from Kyle Shanahan does a really good job. But the Chiefs did a really good job in run defense in the Super Bowl between these two teams. Christian McCaffrey was not otherworldly in the game. Yes, he scored a touchdown on that little swing pass, but they did a really good job against Christian McCaffrey in the Super Bowl. Christian McCaffrey had 22 carries for 80 yards. You can live with that if Christian McCaffrey gets 22 opportunities to run the football. You can live with that. So I think the Chiefs are going to force San Francisco to be one-dimensional in this game, and that's where I think they have the advantage. I'm picking the Chiefs to win another somewhat low-scoring close ball game. The Super Bowl was 25-22. I think this game is going to be played kind of similar to that. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win this game 23-20. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a coin flip kind of game. But if there is one thing that I trust Kansas City to be able to do, it is to win a grinded out, low scoring, points are at a premium football game. And that's what I think this is going to be. The Chiefs outran San Francisco in the Super Bowl. I think they do that again in this matchup. I also don't think that San Francisco's defense is what last year's defense was for a couple of different reasons. I think San Francisco is as banged up in this matchup as Kansas City is. I don't really think that San Francisco has too much of an advantage in this game other than it's at home. If this game was in Kansas City, I think the Kansas City would be favored. If these two teams played in London, I believe that the Chiefs would be a slight favorite in this matchup. Home field advantage does not bother me with Kansas City. We've seen them win in every single scenario over the course of the last 12 months, so that's why I'm picking them to win this game. That's why I like Kansas City. There will become a time where I pick against Kansas City. Like, I don't like the matchup against Tampa Bay in a couple of weeks. I'll go and tell you guys that right now. Like, if you ask me right now to pinpoint their first loss, something about that Tampa Bay game just seems like Kansas City just doesn't play up to snuff and they end up losing that game. But this game against San Francisco, coming off a bye, they're very familiar with this team. I think that's enough. I think that's a difference. I'm picking Kansas City this week. I got them winning 23-20.
I'm going to ask you something that's going to make me sound dumb, and that's fine. Because I understand that the betting public is not the best barometer for picking games. But all those stats you laid out about Andy Reid after a bye, Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, the Chiefs off a bye, Patrick Mahomes off a bye, the health, the injury report for the Niners is out. That information is not secret and only Carrington Harrison and Rob Brinton have it. It's not some sort of, you know, niche thing and, oh man, only this small group has it. You know who has all that same information? Your local sports book, whether you're a FanDuel, DraftKings, ESPN Bet, doesn't matter which one you use. They all have that same information. They might have more information. They have a wealth of information. That's how they build these casinos off the backs of your losses. With all that information, they are still telling you that the Niners are a 1.5 favorite. Is it possible that Vegas knows something we don't know, or is it just sometimes you have a chance to get over on the book and this is one of those weekends? Because at least for me, and I know you feel this way too, when everyone zigs and the betting public's going one way, it's smart to zag because that's when Vegas thrives, and this kind of has that feel. Public money on the Chiefs, and they're getting points. Andy Reid after a bye. Shouldn't you potentially be zagging in this world?
Yeah, I think a couple of different things. Number one, I would say that Vegas is still really high on San Francisco, and their perception of San Francisco hasn't changed in the midst of them starting the year 3-3. So I think that's a major part of it. I think that Vegas still loves San Francisco as a team. I also think that there are still points given away for home field advantage. Again, I think if this game was in Kansas City, I think the Chiefs would be favored. If this game was in London and a neutral site game, I think that Kansas City would be a slight favorite in this game. So if you're telling me out of two of the three possibilities, Kansas City would be a favorite, I think you're kind of telling me that you think Kansas City is better than San Francisco in a lot of ways. I mean, these two teams are pretty close, and we just saw these two teams play a couple of weeks ago in an NFL sense, and it was a really close game where Kansas City was down for most of the game. So if San Francisco wins this game, I would obviously not be surprised if they do it. You were really high on San Francisco. You now think that they kind of kick things into overdrive. I would just say that whatever issues that you think San Francisco has at this point, and they clearly have issues, they lost to Minnesota, they lost to the Rams, they also lost to Arizona a couple of weeks ago in a very, very weird game. All of the issues that you think San Francisco has, Kansas City has right now too. Like, they are very, very similar. The difference is San Francisco has lost three times and Kansas City has not lost three times. So maybe this is the game in which San Francisco goes on a little bit of a run. I mean, but this has been a team so far that just, they haven't won two games in a row. Every time that they get a little bit of momentum, they end up slipping up. They had a home win against New England where they took care of business. They then had another game next week against Arizona and they lost. They won on Thursday Night Football. Now you play Kansas City. So I'm just not picking San Francisco in this matchup. I don't have a good feel for San Francisco right now. I don't know what their identity is and what kind of team that they're in. And their injuries scare me the same way with Kansas City. I just think the Chiefs figure out a way to win.
I'm with you, too. And frankly, you mentioned earlier the little parlay you put together. I'm riding with you. I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm moving the number. I'm making them a favorite. I'm making them -2.5. And I'm also going to take the under. You said it was +260. It was very similar for me. That seems like the betting play, but it seems odd that we are this confident considering the Chiefs' number one wideout was on the injury report yesterday, and their number two wideout is a rookie, and their number three wideout is, I know, it's a computer-generated make-a-name. And the Niners, we've heard from multiple hosts out in San Francisco, this is their Super Bowl. This is their, hey, revenge game. This is 325 Fox. The whole nation is getting it. I feel confident, but there are definitely reasons why you think to yourself, I can see the scenario where the Chiefs lose. I don't think it matters in the long term because it's an NFC opponent, but I can see the scenario, and I guess that's why I think Vegas potentially has them favored.
I have a question to ask you guys about Brock Purdy. Do you think that we would feel different about Brock Purdy if he was selected higher in the draft? Because what I think has happened to Brock Purdy is, I think some of it is confirmation bias. He was a late round pick. People are waiting for the other shoe to drop so they can stand there and say, see, I told you, I knew this was going to happen with Brock Purdy. Since Purdy has taken over as the starting quarterback of San Francisco, he has been one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the National Football League. He has made 27 starts. The Niners have made 20 of them in the regular season. He has also, in his two seasons as a starter, took his team to the NFC Championship game, and the next year he took his team to the Super Bowl. Last year he threw 31 touchdown passes and had 11 interceptions, and this year, in the face of his team is very much in disarray right now. One of their best receivers basically was gone all summer. His number one running back has missed the entire season so far, and he's doing it with Jordan Mason and an undrafted guy. His left tackle was also missing in action for basically the entire summer, and he's still putting up a pretty good number. Do you think, let's say in this alternate universe, let's say that Brock Purdy was drafted where Will Levis was drafted, and he was the 37th overall pick, and he had all this pedigree behind him, I think we would talk about Brock Purdy drastically different than the way that we talk about him. Now, I get it. He has good teammates around him, and for some reason, we have now penalized quarterbacks for playing with talent. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. When we then say football is the ultimate team game, but yet we penalize quarterbacks for having good teammates, it never makes any sense to me. It feels like with Brock Purdy, maybe on this side of Lamar Jackson, because to me, the goalpost is always moved for Lamar's success. It does not seem like there is a quarterback that we move the goalpost for more than Brock Purdy and what he's accomplished so far in the first 2.5 years of him being a starter.
1,000%. The perception would have been a lot different. You're 100% correct. Like, I think with Brock Purdy, he's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because every number, and like the film people and the analytics people and all like the nerd football people will tell you, Brock Purdy is playing a lot better this year than he did last year. But his wins losses is a lot worse this year than it was last year. So with last year, it felt like he was a game manager. It was check down Charlie, but they were winning. But they were winning because Kyle Shanahan and great pieces around him and all those things. This year, Brock Purdy is playing really good football. You could argue that he's no longer check down Charlie. He's not he's still in the Kyle Shanahan offense, but you could say the offense is evolving and improving because of Brock Purdy. But his win losses doesn't represent that. So I think until Brock Purdy has the individual success that he's had this season and it matches with the winning that maybe he had last season, he's going to be stuck in no man's land. When they're winning, they're going to say it's all Kyle Shanahan. When they're losing, they're going to say, see, Brock Purdy's not that great. If he could start doing some high-level winning with the numbers and play he's had this year to back it up, that's when I think the narrative changes. But then you're right. The goalposts would get moved. They would say things like, well, now you got to pay him to find out. Like, there is a lot of moving of the goalposts.
Yeah, I think to me, and maybe this is the analogy, and I'll try not to make it clunky, that we all kind of know somebody who they can do math really quickly without a calculator. Like, you ask them a question, and they just, for whatever reason, they can tell you the answer really, really quick. I would say that person in this analogy is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has been able to do it with whomever you have put on his team. He's done it with Kareem Hunt as his running back in 2018. He's done it with Kareem Hunt in 2024. He's done it with Damian Williams. He's done it with Isaiah Pacheco. He's done it with Juju. He's done it with all of these different guys. He is the person that can just do math equations instantly. There's some people that like need the calculator. There's some people that like need the paper and pencil. They come to the same conclusion that you come to. It just takes them a little bit longer. That's where I would say that's the help. And I think what has happened with quarterbacks is if you're not Patrick Mahomes, if you have any other good player on your team, that's like a negative now. Where, hold on, like Dak Prescott, I still think is a pretty good quarterback. But if you can't run the football at all and your team can't block, I just don't know how successful you think your quarterback is going to be. Where I think with Brock Purdy, even though we saw a team spend a top five pick on a quarterback and that quarterback didn't work in that system, but this quarterback does work in the system, it just feels like to me with Brock Purdy, we have just penalized him for being the quarterback of a good team. Where we now want to see if Brock Purdy could do that as the quarterback of the New York Giants. And that's the only way that he can prove to us that he's good. It's a very weird system that we have with Brock Purdy that I think is just different than other talented quarterbacks. And to me, we only do that because of where he was picked. Most of the other good quarterbacks in the league were all picked really high in the league. Now, Dak's a little bit different, but Lamar Jackson, first-round pick. Josh Allen, first-round pick. Joe Burrow, first-round pick. Jaden Daniels. These are all quarterbacks that we thought were going to be good coming out of college. No one thought that that kid from Iowa State, who was the last pick in the draft, would end up being one of the eight best quarterbacks in the league the way that he's turned out to be. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right, let me ask you one. I don't know if this counts as a gambling question or not, but it's gambling adjacent. The player props are out for Sunday's game. Now, they don't have every single one, but they have enough of them that are out for this game. So for the Chiefs wide receivers, they actually don't have Justin Watson on the board right now. They also don't have Mecole Hardman on the board. I actually am really interested in what they have for Mecole Hardman whenever that gets up. I do think he gets a couple of targets, a couple of opportunities, and for whatever reason, he is just a San Francisco 49er killer. So I'm actually very curious to see what the number they have for him down is. But the two receivers I want to ask you guys about. Right now, they have Juju Smith-Schuster's over-under at 41.5. They have Xavier Worthy's over-under at 39.5. So about the same. Rob, if I told you only one of those two guys hits their over, who do you think is more likely to do it? Do you think it's Juju at over 41 and a half yards or over Xavier Worthy at 39 and a half yards?
Because of Juju's health, I'm going to take Xavier Worthy. Like, I think Juju's a safer bet if I knew that he wasn't limited in some form or fashion in practice. And I think the Chiefs are having used the bye to find new ways to unlock Xavier Worthy. That's, like, right now, he has, what, 150-some-odd yards on the season. He is very much gadget jet sweep guy. That's just what he is. I think the Chiefs understand, even if they add a wide receiver at the deadline, they need more out of Xavier Worthy if they are going to three-peat. So I think Andy Reid and the power structure was figuring out, how do we unlock Xavier Worthy? The same way I remember last year, Rashee Rice was a part of the offense, but he didn't become the offense until late. And I'm not saying Worthy becomes that this week, but I think they would have spent some time scheming up ways to get him open beyond just jet sweep gadget play. So I'll take his over.
I do wonder, some of the plays that they had designated for Mecole Hardman, are they going to try some of those plays with Xavier Worthy? Because last week, if you remember, it was based, they didn't really let Mecole run a lot of routes. It was an extension of the run game. We're going to do a quick screen play out to the left or the right. You make one guy miss, and let's see how many yards you could get. Maybe you get 4 yards. Maybe you get 8 yards. But we trust your ability to make one guy miss, and we're going to use you an extension of the run game. They don't really give Xavier Worthy those kind of opportunities. You know me. I'm big on targets. I'm big on opportunities. How many times do you think that Xavier Worthy is going to get thrown the ball? Now, he had a career high in targets against New Orleans. Some of that is just a scarcity issue. There's not a lot of wide receivers where Juju, I mean, they threw the ball to Juju 8 times against the New Orleans Saints. Now, he had 7 catches for 130 yards. He was fantastic. I think that Juju is going to still continue to get those opportunities and continue to get those targets. Kelce is certainly going to be number one. He's their best pass catching option. After that, I think it's Juju. I think he gets it. I would probably bet on Juju if I had to pick, but the difference between Worthy is than Juju is Xavier Worthy can get that on one play. I don't think that Juju can. Xavier Worthy might have 1 catch in this game. That 1 catch could be for 55 yards, and you clear it on one play. I don't necessarily think that's what Juju is in this. I do think you make a very interesting point about, is Xavier Worthy, is he the bye week wrinkle? We haven't talked a whole lot about that over the course of the last couple of days, but they always have something new in their offense after the bye week. They always have some wrinkle, some gadget play, some something. Andy has just been downstairs in the basement watching film of some 1922 Army versus Georgia Tech football game, and he comes back with something that we haven't seen yet and a little bit of a wrinkle in their offense. I would pick Juju just because I think the volume's going to be there. But I think you make a really good point about Xavier Worthy and what his possible usage could be in this game, that he's the bye week wrinkle and they do a little bit better job trying to get him the football.
I think it's beyond a wrinkle, though, too. Like, maybe this is just me and I'm alone on an island here. But don't you think the Chiefs are going to need more out of Xavier Worthy if they're going to repeat? Like, let's take the trade portion out of the equation, because I think they are going to trade for someone. But they're not trading for Tyreek Hill. They're not trading for A.J. Brown. They're not trading for a guy who's going to, you know, totally reshape the way the offense works. If you are going to have this offense be good enough for the Super Bowl, like week in and week out, you're going to need more than 100-some-odd yards over 5 weeks from Xavier Worthy. So I think it's more than just a wrinkle in San Francisco. I think it's they have to tweak the offense to get him going, because if he's just, you know, gadget guy, I don't know there's enough even with a trade.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They have the over under for both wide receivers set at 3.5. Juju's is at 3.5. Also, Xavier Worthy's at 3.5. Now, I think it's far more likely that Juju has 4 or more catches than it is for Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy hasn't had 4 catches in a game so far this season. So a lot of it is usage, how often I think you're going to get him the ball here. Where Juju, I mean, if you throw Juju the ball 6 to 7 times in this game, he's getting 4 or 5 catches and going to make something happen. The only question that I have for Juju in this is now his health. How healthy is his hamstring? What does he look like in this offense? Do you get the most out of him? And if he's not 100%, who then steps up in his absence or him not being 100%. Is this a Justin Watson game? I was surprised that Justin Watson, he didn't get a ball thrown his way last week for a guy that sort of emerged as a very trustworthy wide receiver. He's gotten off to a slow start this year. And for a team that is wide receiver needy right now, you'd like to see a little bit more from Justin Watson than they've gotten so far. They haven't really given him a lot of targets, haven't given him an opportunity. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet. He didn't get a ball thrown his way last time. I'm surprised that Justin Watson hasn't been a bigger factor in their offense than he's been so far in the first 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, we had a texter, I think it was last week, say, hey guys, I bet on Justin Watson, I lost. Did he even play? He didn't even register a stat.
I bet on him too.
He's not, we joked about MVS being Mr. Cardio, but for a couple weeks in a row, Justin Watson is cardio. He's not getting targeted. He's not getting catches. He's just out there. But if you look at his snap counts, he's still second or third among receivers in snaps per game. So it's odd. I think eventually they get something out of him, but for whatever reason, Watson and Mahomes are not gelling in 2024.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to a Sunday six-pack. We'll answer six questions about Sunday's action. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I did tell you guys that I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game. Someone on the text line says, anytime you talk like this is when the Chiefs lose, but it's a no-win situation because if I pick the Chiefs to lose, you guys would be mad that I picked them to lose, but then if I pick them to win, you're mad I picked them to win. I don't know what you guys want me to do sometimes. I'm just confused, you know? I'm just confused. Have you guys seen the movie Guess Who, the remake with Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher? And you remember whenever Ashton Kutcher and Bernie Mac were going back and forth, that they were going to hand the luggage to the bellhop. For those of you that have seen the movie, you know what scene I'm talking about. Sometimes that's how I feel on Friday when I have to make my prediction. Because if I pick the Chiefs, you guys are mad that I'm confident the Chiefs are going to win. But then if I was like, I don't know, I think the other team's kind of good, you guys then get mad and tell me that's why you're listening to the other station. I can't win, you know? So I gotta pick what's in my heart, you know? I gotta pick what's in my heart.
Are you saying you're basically Brock Purdy? Damned if you do, damned if you don't?
Yeah, I gotta pick what's in my heart. And that's why, you know what? I don't even cheer for the Chiefs. That's why I cheer for this team.
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders. Commanders. Commanders.
That's why I cheer for them. That's why I stay out of Chiefs business. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm a Commanders fan. So, yeah, Chiefs win, lose, it doesn't matter to me. I'll be over here cheering for the Commanders. You know what? They want my love and support. That's why I'm cheering for them. It's exactly why.
I mean, people are asking, how many Heisman trophies does Patrick Mahomes have? None. Jaden Daniels? Any. One.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Infinitely more.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's all I cheer for. Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy, Lamar. If you don't have a Heisman Trophy, I can't. That's the people we're supporting on this show.
That's why you love Mark Ingram.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I forgot all about Mark Ingram. No, that makes perfect sense. All right. You know what? There's not really too many games on Sunday that we need to spend our time and effort getting into. Let's just talk about the game that really matters, the Lions and the Vikings. I think the right side to be on is the Vikings in this game. I think the Vikings are going to... I think the Vikings win the home game. I think the Lions win the home game. I think these two teams split. This is actually a decent weekend in the NFL. I don't want to make it seem like this is one of those monster weeks in the league. It's not one of those, but we do get an early morning game. Now, I always like the early morning game.
Except for this one stinks.
This one is not a good early morning game, but I do like the early morning game. You know, if you go to church, the fact that there's football on while you're getting ready for church, that's great. I will always take that. I wish we had one of those early morning games every single week. Texans and Packers is going to be a good one. Lions and Vikings is going to be a good one. Chiefs and Niners, Jets and Steelers on Sunday Night Football, I think is pretty interesting too. We got two Monday Night Football games coming up.
Those are both good, by the way. Those Monday Night might be the best day of the week.
Chargers, Cardinals, that got you going.
I take that over Jets and Steelers. Well,
no, I actually want to see the Jets and Steelers today. I'm interested in Jets and Steelers. Devontae Adams, home dog, Pittsburgh. Yeah, no, I'm interested in Jets and Steelers. I will watch Jets and Steelers this week.
I think you're interested because of the potential train wreck, too. If the Jets lose.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Aaron Rodgers, he's going to blame everybody. Has a team ever fired their interim head coach before? Have we had, like, interim inception?
I just want Nathaniel Hackett to be the head coach. We're all begging for it. No. If you're going to be a clown show, let's be fun.
You're going to be a clown show. Okay.
I mean, that's what they are. Their quarterback goes on a podcast and blames their receiver. He then trades for a new receiver. They then lose to the Steelers, and no one cares about Jeff Albrecht. Just give us Nathaniel Hackett.
You know, I'm not going to lie. You could have gave me 15 guesses on who the Jets interim coach was. I would have never guessed the correct answer on Jeff. I don't even know why I need to learn that man's name. He's not really the head coach. He's like Darvin Ham. He's not really the head coach. Aaron Rodgers is the head coach. All right. Great college weekend. Fun NFL weekend. Kansas, good luck. K-State, good luck. And Missouri, M-I-Z. I'll catch you guys on Monday. Hopefully you're back. I'll be back. Rob will be back. We'll all be back together. And until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.